son. Every time that brain of yours starts punching out data, public property is endangered, women cry and dogs bark. What do you do, stay up late at nights trying to think up ways to make a peanut of yourself?
No.
Hello, I'm Mike.
I'm Mike.
I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Forgotten Failures Podcast.
We do not have a Daryl in our midst.
No.
Because he has chosen to be a responsible adult instead of be here.
Yeah.
Burned. Mm-hmm. No. Okay.
No more teachers, no more books.
Get your learn on.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we did what we came here to do, which is watch a
forgotten movie.
Forgotten movie, and we really succeeded because this movie does not exist on DVD.
It's never been on DVD.
Nope, ever.
Not under its original title, Frog Dreaming.
No,
or the British title, The Go Kids,
which is probably a good
or
thing.
Or the Italian/Spanish/French title, The Secret of the Lake.
Oh, it had a fourth title.
Or the German title, The Ghost Hunter.
Man,
wait, what? How many titles does this?
Or the Swedish title, The Spirit Chaser.
All of those are infinitely better than The
Quest.
Or
under the American title, The Quest.
Yeah.
Because The Quest was just, it led us down a path that we didn't.
Yeah.
There's a little bit more of an actual quest in this movie than in the movie Vision Quest, but there's still not much of a quest.
Yeah.
And
The Question, maybe.
No Matthew Modine, either. So, The Quest.
Yeah, Lindsay, you really wanted to see this movie. You said it was a delightful family adventure.
Well, here's the thing, is the first time I saw it, I was kind of, I was impressed by it for some reason. I had a good impression of it.
How old were you?
this was about a month ago.
Whoa.
So.
Okay. So you were really in love with 14-year-old Henry Thomas at the time.
I'm a really big fan of E.T., so the fact that there was any follow-up.
Well, he does ride a lot. He does ride his bike a lot in this movie.
He does. But, so, I don't know why, I think it's because I watched it late at night before I was going to bed, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, this would be a good movie to watch, and comment on, and then I kind of, after we decided to do it, I watched a little bit, of it again, and I realized how slow it was, but then I couldn't think of another movie.
Mm-hmm. Once you know what's going to happen in the movie, you realize that nothing happens in the movie.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So, anyway, this movie... essentially, we have our protagonist, Cody. Not Cody Banks, but Cody, I don't even know what his last name is.
Yeah, I don't know if he had a last name.
Doesn't need one.
Yeah,
no, his name was Cody Walpole.
Walpole.
Like the farmer, like the ex-British politician, I think it was, Horace Walpole.
Okay. So we have this young man, Cody. He's a 14-year-old boy. He lives in Australia, although he's American.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Australia because... his parents were in Australia, mm-hmm. and they died, and he decided to stay in Australia as a ward of the state and stay with his dad's best friend, Gaza.
Gaza, which I think is a slang for Gary.
Gary, it is. It is the slang for Gary. I do have a friend named Gary who went to Australia, and everybody called him Gaza, so I can confirm. Anyway, so this movie, we open, and there are a lot of there's a lot of nature scenes. We open on...
frogs.
On frogs, some lizards. Then we see this quarry of sorts, this body of water.
Mm-hmm.
There's some machinery around. There's a windmill.
They keep focusing on this windmill.
Mm-hmm. They do.
They cut from one thing to a windmill, to something else to the windmill, to something else to the windmill.
It reminded me a lot of the intro to There Will Be Blood.
Yeah.
Where it's just a lot of like weird desert nature shots.
Yeah.
It's very silent.
Yeah.
There's not a lot going on.
Very quiet.
And instead of a man silently working the shaft in the mine shaft, there's a man silently floating in a canoe.
Yep.
Yep. So we're panning around looking at nature. Then we happen upon a man in a boat who happens to be a drunk in a boat,
mm-hmm.
Who also happens to be a hobo in a boat. So he's there sleeping, being a hobo. The windmill just offshore starts to spin slowly, so you know something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Then we see the drunk wake up. He checks on his lines because he's fishing.
Mm-hmm.
The line tightens around his grip, and you almost think that it would cut his fingers off because it's so tight, but the line just breaks, which is good for his hand, not for us as movie watchers.
No.
So the water begins to roil. There's air that comes up out of the water slowly, then it begins to roil, and he comes out of the water, he takes his boat, and he...
It bubbles, and then there's more bubbles, and then there's a crescendo of bubbles.
Yes, and so he gets to shore, he doesn't tie up the boat, and the boat gets eaten by a thing.
It appears to be some sort of maelstrom.
A creature. of some sort.
Well,
that we
I thought
only
it was just
the...
a whirlpool or something.
Yeah, well, there, we see a little bit of a, like there's a
Yeah, it's like
something.
A top of like a rock or something like that.
See, the, and we hear this like creaking noise. Basically, we're supposed to believe that this man thinks it's a monster. But what it looks like is a kind of a moss-covered rock that comes out of the water.
So after this scene, after this opening scene, this cold open, we cut to a small town, a small Australian town. Mm-hmm. And we see a young boy who is in a workshop working on his bike. Yeah. Then we see him get his bike, ride it into town, and people are all sort of a buzz. Like, there's just everybody's talking about, he's going to do it today.
Yeah.
He's going to go do it. He's whatever this thing is, he's going to do it.
Especially Wendy.
Yeah.
She just can't wait for him to do
it. Yeah. And,
it's like the Simpsons when he jumps the gorge.
Yeah.
It's like a huge deal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And his girlfriend, Wendy, his girl space friend.
quotes right around there.
She's, you know, concerned. She's like, oh my gosh, this is dangerous. Whatever this is that you're doing, don't do it. and so he decides, you know, I'm going to go do this thing, rides his bike down to a railroad, a what we would think is an abandoned railway.
Yeah, hopefully.
And he puts some contraption that he had invented, he attaches it to his bike.
Yeah.
And then with this contraption, he's able to ride the railway.
Somehow this makes him go a lot faster.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't.
No.
At
it
all.
Looked like the other guys on the bikes
were getting there about the same time.
They got to
the station faster than he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's racing to the station. No, to the end point. They got there before he did.
Yeah. Well, they were in the cars.
Oh, yeah. That's
I
true.
Think the bikes got there not too long after that, though.
But so he's racing along the railway, and he realizes, oh crap, there are no brakes. My brakes stopped working. And so he flies by everybody.
Replace the brakes with train attachments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he flies by the station where he's supposed to stop, and he nearly runs into a really small
It was like a train car that was like 8 feet long.
It was for two people. And then he jumps the rail, and he goes down a gigantic hill a la Mac and Me. ends up at the bottom of this hill. Pretty much the whole town has come out to see him.
All of Australia,
do this thing.
Basically.
Yeah, do this thing where he just rides the rails on his bike to another station.
He's just doing it for the sake of doing it.
Yes, and so
he's a daredevil.
Everybody's there, and the cops show up because it's that big of a deal. And the cops basically just give him kind of a slap on the wrist. Mm-hmm. They're like, you know, you're gonna. This is dumb to do.
Because everyone loves this kid.
Yeah, everybody's kind of on this kid's dick.
He's the toast of the town.
Like, this kid could do anything he fucking wanted to, and it wouldn't really matter.
Like, when the cops go after Gaza, and they're like, what's your kid up to all day? And he's like, well, you know, he comes and goes.
Yeah, no rules, just right. It's the Outback Steakhouse.
Outback Steakhouse, or in this case, Outback Orphaned
Child. The slogan for Outback Steakhouse is also how Australians raise their kids. That was what I took away.
Just right.
So basically, after this slap on the wrist, Cody and his girlfriend Wendy and Wendy's sister are walking home, and they talk about plans for a picnic where you know they'll bring like some peanut butter jelly sandwiches, walk around.
Yeah. Now, whoever wrote the script thought that picnic was an Australian term that Americans don't use.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
Cody was
like,
confused
go to a
by
picnic.
It.
Like a picnic? Like you know, lunch outside.
Yeah. Oh, a hike.
A hike.
Yeah.
They called it a hike.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they plan this picnic for the next day.
What you doing tomorrow?
I don't know. Why, do you want to knock around or something?
Dunno.
Hey, you want to have a picnic or something?
Yeah, picnic.
Picnic?
You know, put some food in the bag and go out in the bush.
Oh, hike.
We could go exploring. I'll make chicken sandwiches.
And I'll get some cigarettes.
They go on this picnic. Mm-hmm. To Devil's Knob. The girls don't know where they're going. Cody is the instigator.
Leader.
He is the fearless leader. He does what he wants, brings people with him if he wants to. So they go into
rope people into his schemes.
Yeah, they go into this forest, and the girls are slightly concerned, saying, oh, geez, we told our parents we were going to the park. And Cody very cleverly says, well, this is a national park, which is great.
Gotcha.
They talk about Cody's parents dying, the whole reason he's in Australia, being an American and all. They end up happening upon the lake that we started out with, the lake that we started on with the hobo.
Yeah.
And Cody realizes right away that somebody's been camping there.
Mm-hmm.
Looks around at the things that are there and realizes, oh God, I know this guy.
I know this bloke.
Neville.
This old bloke I know.
I thought he said this old black I know.
No. This no,
which
says,
is, so I didn't realize that was the same as the hobo we saw at the beginning in the canoe.
Yeah, it was the same dude. He's like, it's this bloke I know, Neville. And the girls are like, you know, how do you know him? He's like, I just know him.
He's just a homeless guy from Sydney. He comes down here to
He's just like a 45-year-old homeless guy that I know. Right. So
that's how I do.
Yeah. So he's running around looking for Neville, calling for Neville. Gets up on this pond, lake, body of water, whatever it is.
It's a floating dock.
He climbs up because there are very large walls that surround very large
cliffs.
Yeah, that surround it. So he's climbing up on this cliff on the other side of this body of water.
Just to be cool.
Yeah, the girls get on this floating dock to look at tadpoles.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that this floating dock is untying itself. It's not actually really well tied up. So they're floating off of the dock and into the middle of this pond or quarry.
They've been sabotaged by a hobo ambush.
Yeah. They and so they're stuck, and Cody sees them, comments on how dumb the girls are, and we start to see the windmill. We pan over to the windmill, it starts to crank up again, starts to go. We see the water start to roil again. And Cody very heroically, without any hesitation, cliff dives into the quarry and goes and rescues the girls, brings them to shore just in time.
Yeah, he pulls the entire dock.
Yeah, pulls the entire dock, puts it to a winch.
Yeah.
He winches the dock back. It's ridiculous. And they even comment. It's so ridiculous that the girls in the movie comment, wow, that was so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it was a good, 40-50 foot drop. It wasn't
his stock couldn't get any higher.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So Wendy and her sassy younger sister are...
They're all up on
even more impressed.
Yeah, so once they get back, he kind of looks around the camp area a little bit more. I don't know why he didn't do that beforehand. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because he totally skipped the camp area, which they were by when they first arrived. But he looks in there. There's like a sort of tented shack area. Looks in that, and there's Neville's decayed body. They all scream because it's shocking.
Yeah,
it's
like, which kind of surprised me because I feel like it probably wasn't there that long.
No,
I don't think bodies decomposed that quickly.
It was
super
decomposed.
I think it was more like it was dried out. Like it was dried out by the Australian desert.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Desert but a lot of him
was like skeleton.
It's like he had been there for almost like 50 years or something. But it really just happened.
Yeah, so he was caught in a time loop.
So the kids are fairly smart.
I'll bet we're the first people ever to come here. That'd be stupid. This is where all the blackfellas used to live. Right, Kai?
Nah. Blacks never come anywhere near Devil's Knob.
Why not?
Whole area's full of frog dreamings.
Next thing we see after this decomposed body is cop cars. We cut to cop cars or trucks coming into the quarry area.
Yeah, every vehicle is a truck in this movie.
Yeah,
or
everything's
a truck. Or a motorbike.
That's Australia. Yeah.
So we see these trucks come in. They're looking around. They're saying, well, you know, who knows? Things happen.
Things happen around these.
And they're like, you shouldn't be out here anyway. Let's post some signs. Make sure no one's camping here. Let's get gone. Cody, ever the clever boy, says, no, hey guys, look at this over here. Let me do your job for you since you're not actually detecting anything.
No, the police are literally standing there saying, my watch has stopped.
Yeah.
Mine's still going.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not very good police. They're small town police, inept at best.
Yeah.
So what happens then is, Wendy's parents ground her because she was out where she shouldn't have been. She lied to them about being in a park. Mm-hmm. And so earlier on, Cody had asked her to a dance, to a church dance.
A disco
that she agreed to, but she wasn't able to go because she was grounded.
Yeah, because going to, as her younger sister said, Devil's Cock National Park.
Yeah. So then we cut to a scene. We see Cody talking to Gaza.
Dad's best friend.
Yeah, Dad's his. I guess his.
Well, first they go to the disco.
Well, no. They talk about the donkey gin first.
Oh yeah.
Because Cody's trying to figure out what he saw, what happened, and he's talking about it. And his Gaza says, you know, the blackies or blacks tell tale of the donkey gin.
Blackfellas.
Blackfellas.
Yeah, they usually call them the blackfellas.
The blackfellas. telltale of the donkey gin, and kind of go into this Aboriginal myth of this creature that you have to look into the eyes of to become a man or something like that. And then they go off to this church dance where they're the single fellas and they have a good time. And then after that, after Cody drives Gaza home because Gaza gets too drunk, he rail bikes it to this Aboriginal shanty town where it's just a big junkyard.
Yeah, the industry is taking apart cars, I guess. Yeah.
Cars and boats.
Baskets. There was a couple
and giving boat
baskets.
Rides.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he's looking for this guy, Charlie Smith.
Charlie Pride.
That's one.
Like the famous black country singer.
Yeah. He's looking for this guy named Charlie. He knows he's an Aboriginal. That's all he knows. So he goes to this Aboriginal shanty town looking for this guy named Charlie, finds him. And Charlie's like, well, do you have time? And he's like, yeah, sure. Cody's like, I'm just a kid. It's summer vacation, whatever. So he goes on this boat ride with this guy. The Aboriginal people kind of laugh at the kid and say stuff in like another language, their own language.
So what does a white boy want to know about Kadaicha magic?
Yeah. And then they go, it's this really long drawn out thing where they go and they camp for a little bit. They eat some lobsters, mm-hmm. I think. They pull up baskets. Then they drop off a bunch of people and then they go back to the town.
It's like this is the Amazon. The main way people get from town to town is on the river.
Yeah. There's really nothing gained, I don't think, in this whole thing.
It's just local color.
But basically Charlie Pride tells him, you know, you need to go and see this man or whatever.
No, Charlie Pride is the man they have to go and see. He was the mysterious man.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So then at night, somehow it's nighttime. Night. Somehow Cody's alone. Yeah. He's at this dock, very, very dark.
In a scene utterly different in appearance from the rest of the movie.
Yes. Yeah.
It is now dark. There is blue fog everywhere, like it's the last Boy Scout or something.
And there are lights on this dock, but the lights don't actually light up anything.
No. There's all these hanging, Victorian-era lanterns.
Yeah.
So he talks to Charlie Pride. And Charlie Pride already knows what he wants to talk about. He's already there. He's guessing what he's going to say. And he's like, how do you know what I'm here for? And Charlie Pride's reply is, man business. And that's it. How he knows it, because it's man business.
It's like in Goldfinger when James Bond says, man talk. Yeah. As a way of telling the woman to go away.
So basically, Charlie Pride says, you know, after a really creepy conversation, essentially he says, you know, you got to dance with the devil before you can face the donkey gin. So he sends him down this. He disappears.
Just down the dock.
Yeah. Charlie Pride disappears, and Cody walks down this dark dock, and he sees this figure. You can see this figure sort of moving around at the end of it, and you don't know what it is. He's very slow. A lot of tension building. Gets to it, and it's just a bunch of junk.
Yeah.
Hanging.
Yeah.
And just moving around.
Kind of like a ghost, but it wasn't.
Yeah. A guy
like,
with the lightsabers in there.
Yeah, and then there's this fluorescent light tube, and he picks it up, lights it up, which is does not seem safe at all. And then realizes, this is not anything at all, and begins to play around with it as though he's holding a lightsaber.
Yeah, these Aborigines don't know what they're talking about.
No, he's like, this is silly. These guys are silly. Yeah. Somehow he
science
gets home.
Will answer this question.
Yeah, somehow, like, he's out overnight. And while he's out overnight, the police officer is talking to Gaza about his parenting style. Because he's like, what's your kid doing? You know, you're supposed to be looking after this guy, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. He's corrupting the daughters of our local town.
He's upsetting them. And
she started smoking and swearing and crying at the drop of a hat.
Yeah.
All because of Cody.
And Gaza just explains, you know, this is not our relationship. He does what he wants, basically.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. He's okay with that. And
that's where he says, I don't take advice and I don't give advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next day then, Cody picks up, he gets a gigantic fish hook from somewhere, or he makes it.
Yeah, probably just in that weird garage. They got a lot of random crap in there.
So he gets this gigantic fish hook, he makes a cannon.
Yeah. Yeah, the first thing he does after this is to decide to go and design a cannon.
Yes. So he makes a cannon, gets a fish hook, gets a leg of lamb. It's like $60 worth of lamb.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, they said it was a 3-kilo leg of lamb.
Yeah, so however much that is, it's a lot. I felt
like a quarter of a lamb.
I felt very frustrated with that scene because I was like, that is a lot of lamb you're just throwing into a muddy lake.
Yeah.
So that's what he does. He's like, I'm going to fish this thing out. I'm going to fish this donkey gin out. He goes over, throws the hook in, and nothing really happens. I mean, there's some roiling. It kind of comes up.
There's a lot of roiling in this movie.
Yeah, there is a lot of roiling.
Take some pictures.
Yeah, he tries to take some pictures, and then he...
Snap after snap.
Yeah, and then he shoots his cannon. The cannon doesn't really land any, like, it doesn't.
Yeah.
You don't hear it hit the water.
It shoots, but you don't see it hit anything.
Like, he spent time on this cannon for nothing. Nothing at all.
Yeah.
So then,
at this point, he decides that it's not really a monster at all somehow.
Yeah, so he's, like, looking into it, and he talks to some smart guy who's not in the movie at any other time.
Mr. Kaufman.
Yeah.
He walks on a mud flat.
Yeah.
And discovers Mr. Kaufman using a metal detector.
Yeah, he goes to
he's basically the local
visit
professor.
Mr. Kaufman. And you can tell that Mr. Kaufman's a smart guy because the first thing Mr. Kaufman asks is, oh, did you ever do anything with that dry rocket fuel that, you know...
which seems very dangerous.
Anyway, this kid's now trying to find out if there was anything else at that quarry site. And so he's asking around, he asks this Mr. Kaufman if Mr. Kaufman believes in monsters.
Yeah.
To which...
Do you believe in bunyips?
To which Mr. Kaufman replies, monsters. I was married to one for 20 years, which was amazing.
But he was not married to a bunyip. He does not believe in those monsters.
No. So after that, he goes, Cody goes again on an invention tip. And he decides, he's looking at an aquarium for a little bit and decides he needs to invent some way to capture air underwater and comes up with the diving bell, but a worse version of the diving bell.
It looked like a fishing bowl.
Yeah, he just got a fish bowl, like a large
one.
Yeah, a net with weights and some tubes and some drums and came up with the diving bell.
Yeah, pretty impressive for a 14-year-old.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, the engineering work on that was really good. So he goes and convinces Wendy, who at this point is very wary of his antics. She's kind of fed up with it.
She also has Hello Kitty stickers all over her window.
She does. She's a cool girl. Well, you can tell because she hangs out with Cody that she's probably the cool girl of the school.
Well, this is 1989 and she's got Hello Kitty. That's pretty ahead of the
curve.
In
Australia.
Yeah.
He goes to her. He's like, I need your help. And he convinces her, you know, we could take some pictures for National Geographic. We'd get a lot of money. And she's like, okay, fine. You know, I'll come and help you for money.
No, it was his winning smile.
That's right. She shut the window on him. And then he did this smile with his tongue.
Yeah, he did a smile with his tongue out.
He, like, weirdly licked his lips with his...
And she couldn't resist that. That was really more of a losing smile, I thought.
Because in the beginning of the film, her sister does ask if she's ever kissed Cody, to which she says no. And then she asks, would she want to? And she's just not sure.
No answer.
She can't answer.
Yeah, and then her other frenemy, Becky, with the gigantic front teeth, shows up and says, you better kiss Cody fast or
something's gonna happen. So Cody and Wendy go back to the quarry, and they set up this diving bell. Cody goes under and does the funniest part of the movie, for me, was when he went underwater, and there was an underwater, like, rake gag.
Yeah. Which looked like a claw.
Yeah, he stepped on something that looked like a it was probably just a piece of wood or something, but it looked like almost like a tusk, like an ivory tusk. And he slammed himself in the face by stepping on something. Much like, I don't know, any cartoon character has done.
Yeah.
So he goes underwater. Yeah. He's taken aback because he sees a face.
Yeah.
And he goes closer and closer and realizes, oh, it's just a doll. A wooden blow-up doll.
It's a terrifying face with fangs.
Yes.
But then it turns out that it is actually a face that looks nothing like that. It's a, like, white mannequin with a lot of makeup and a giant open mouth.
Yeah. So
who would want a mannequin like that? I do not know.
My guess is a wooden blow-up doll. So, water roils again. The windmill goes again.
Seems like it does this as a regular pattern.
Yeah. Like, there's clockwork to it. It happens on a schedule. Kind of like, you know those, if you've ever been to a water park that has those buckets of water that'll fill and then just pour down once they're full?
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's like a really shitty water park.
It's laws of physics demonstrated.
So the water roils again. There's struggle underwater. Cody was only supposed to be under for 3 minutes max, and it's over that 3 minutes. We know this because Wendy has a stopwatch that's over 3 minutes now. She's concerned.
So he calculated how much oxygen he would have in that fishbowl helmet?
Yeah, with his drums, with his salamanders and stuff. So anyway, all we see after all this fight that happens underwater, with gravity, I guess, and water and pressure.
And fight with gravity.
All we see is the helmet for the diving bell empty. Yeah. We don't see Cody.
Well, she pulls it out of the water.
Oh, that's right.
The time has come for her to pull him out.
She tries to pull him up, and it's just the diving bell.
But a helmet.
And so she leaves. She gets on a dirt bike.
Yeah, she frantically rides his motorbike back to the town.
A motorbike that he had all along, but he was riding his, like, just bike around.
That was just for show.
Yeah.
So she comes back to the town and completely wipes out on the pavement and rolls over, like, three
times. Amazing wipeout. Yes. Like, it was real. Yeah, it was a real wipeout. Yeah.
14-year-old stunt woman who did a really good job.
Yeah, it was definitely like, hey, you've never ridden this before, let's stick you on this and just, here, go really fast through here.
It's almost like they had the actress just do it herself.
Yeah, it's almost like they didn't expect her to fall, and she just fell.
And they're like, we're just, keep filming. We'll see if she's...
Go with it, guys. Yeah.
She was very brave. She seemed authentically upset. Yeah,
she was very upset.
Took her helmet.
They took her helmet off, and she's like, just her face is full of tears. She explains, you know, Cody's underwater, he's dead. And so they go out.
Yeah. Well, that's all it takes for these other guys to tell Gazza, Cody's gone.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, they're like, it's been an hour. Like,
he's dead.
It's been at least an hour since, like, she's been able to come back. And like, he's probably dead.
Yeah. So they say, nobody lives life like that boy and expects to survive to a ripe old age.
Yeah.
Like, the age of 18 or something. Yeah.
So,
too much to expect.
So they all go out. Gazza wants to at least collect Cody's body to bury him. They go out. They start pumping the lake to dry it out, I guess, to pump all the water out so they can at least find his body.
Like, pulling out of the water out of the north end of the lake and putting it into the south end of the lake.
Wendy, she's put to bed. A doctor, we see a scene where a doctor sees her and says, you know, she'll be fine. She needs sleep. Parents leave her to sleep.
A kindly doctor.
She has a nightmare, wakes up, goes to Cody's workshop. And sees all of the information that he has about the quarry, sort of pieces things together. We see a lot of machinery that was at the quarry, and we see, like, just drawings of dinosaurs for some reason.
Drawings of dinosaurs and drawings of schematics for his idea for what is happening.
Yes.
Like all movie geniuses, he doesn't explain his ideas. Yeah. He just tells people to do stuff.
Yes.
And then he vanishes and nobody knows what's going on until they can piece together his ideas.
Exactly. And then he's a genius because he knew all along.
Yeah.
So she realizes, oh man, he might not actually be dead because he might be stuck in a pocket of air somehow. So she goes and she says, wait, he might not be dead. The cops show up.
Yeah.
All the townsfolk show up.
They want to find out what this donkogen is.
Yeah. Everybody's come down. They're, like, rappelling down the walls.
Yeah. Well, they
falling down.
They drained some of the water out. So now it's even a bigger cliffs going down.
So they rappel themselves down. The entire town's there.
Yeah, so guys drop out of helicopters.
Then all of a sudden,
middle of the night by that point.
Yes, there's more roiling of the water. There's more windmill going.
It almost looks like the helicopter is trying to use its blades to blow all the water out of the lake.
Yeah, they have two divers that go in, and that's actually a really cool scene because
they
actually had to have a helicopter and people drop in, like, so that was cool.
And they had to get those divers to do a fist bump before they went into the water.
That's true. So they have divers, all that. The divers realize, oh, wait, Cody's in an air pocket. He's responding. We can hear him knock. And they're like, we need to get him out of there. They're trying to think of ways. They're all stupid ways. And Gaz is like, just bring this down to him and give him some more air, this tank that's just laying around. So
I found some air.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, there's even more roiling, the most roiling that there's been in this movie. Like, all the roiling in the past that happened combined in one scene. And this donkogen rises from the water, finally. Completely covered in, like, algae for some reason.
Like seaweed.
Seaweed, even though it's like a pond.
Lake,
But
then it rises farther than it ever has before.
Yeah, it rises, and we see Cody in the mouth of this donkogen, and he's like, I don't know how to get down, or something like that.
His foot was stuck.
Yeah. Like, my foot's stuck, I can't get out.
So he was just hiding there for his own amusement.
Yes, so he was just in there, and then we realize, wait a minute, this isn't, like, a creature that's down there. This is just a piece of machinery from when people used to, like, when this was a real quarry and people were mining rocks out of it.
It's just one of those backhoe type things that cuts up the dirt and grabs it with a claw and lifts it.
Which apparently in Australia was known as a donkey engine
because
they put it together finally. Everybody in the town's like, oh, donkey engine.
Those crazy Aboriginals were just talking about a donkey engine.
Yeah,
their myths don't make any sense.
Which, donkey engines could have only existed about, I don't know, this is the 80s?
Maybe 100 years.
At most.
Well, they got deeply integrated into the local mythology.
So that's it. Cody gets out of the water.
It's a very simple story.
Yeah. Cody gets out of the water, and he's walking up the path out of this quarry area.
And he sees Charlie Pride.
Oh, he looks back. He sees Charlie Pride, and then he looks at the group of people into Wendy and asks, do you still want to take a picture for National Geographic? as a joke, and then does like a little hand wave, like, oh, guys, come on,
yeah.
and walks
I'm
off.
I'm too much.
Yeah, walks off, you know, cock in hand, because he is the fucking cock in the walk. So he just goes off. And
then it's the next day.
Then it's the, yeah.
It's the next day.
Oh, yeah, that's right, that's right, yeah. that's right. So it's the next day.
And I forget what he was doing. Does he go back?
Yeah, he just goes back to the top of the cliff, okay, but not to the bottom of the lake. Or to the quarry. Yeah. He goes on the top of it. Yeah.
This is when he sees Charlie Pride.
Yeah, yeah. And this is when he sees Charlie Pride on the other side.
Wearing a whole bunch of crane feathers.
And, yeah. And then we see the windmill going again. Yeah. We see the water roiling again. We see a cord move, like a rope move.
It was a rope that he originally tied the lamb to.
Yes.
He tied it to a truck.
Yeah, we see that moving, and we see it caught on a car. This car being, like, well, car carcass. It's just like the shell frame. Of a car.
Yeah.
Being dragged into the lake. Something is eating it. Something's mm-hmm. pulling these things in. And Charlie Pride and Cody have a moment. They like look at each other.
Yep, stare down.
Charlie seems to be orchestrating this whole thing.
Because now, for the first time, you know, not only is the water roiling, but like the things keep getting pulled into the water.
Yeah,
all
like
the, all the elements
happening.
Of this shanty that this hobo built.
Or something mystical, left over something magical the is happening. Workers. And Then for some reason we finally go inside Cody's head, and Cody's thinking to himself, like, oh, this is a frog dreaming.
He is a Khadija man. Yeah. There is a dream time.
Yeah.
So now it's left ambiguous as to whether there is.
Yeah, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah,
by the way, that's just the end of it.
Yeah, we don't really know.
They leave it at that. They leave it at, we've been on this kind of quest for like an hour and a half. It didn't actually mean anything because it was just. Yeah. It was just a donkey engine.
Yeah, hard scientific inquiry cracked the case.
Yep.
No hint of the supernatural here.
Myth
but busted. Then at the end, maybe there is a hint of the supernatural.
Yeah. Yes. So that was...
Frog Dreaming. I think we should call it Frog Dreaming, because the quest is such a generic title.
Yeah.
There was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called The Quest.
There was. That's what I kept running into when I was trying to look up stuff.
This is the only movie ever called Frog Dreaming. Or possibly the only movie ever called The Go Kids.
Too. Yeah, that's true.
That's pretty stupid.
That sounds like a sweet band name, though.
It does.
Go Kids.
The Get Up Kids?
The Get Up Kids.
Yeah, The Get Up Kids.
The Get Up and Go Kids.
Like, yeah, but there's not much to say.
You know what? There is something to say about the little sister.
Yeah,
Wendy's little sister
yes.
was...
Highlight of the movie.
Amazing.
Yeah. Well, she is...
She was
shorter
quip
than Wendy,
central.
And younger, I guess, but she seems more mature.
Yeah.
She's like the girl on Dog with a Blog. Like that girl who's like 4 feet tall, but is the same age as her brother, who's like 2 feet taller than her.
Yeah, she is like just super sarcastic, like super, like she just fucks with her mom just because.
Yeah. Has a good Australian voice to even punch at home.
Yeah.
She picks up a witchetty grub.
Look, a witchetty grub.
Oh, it's a nice one. You gonna eat him?
Don't make me bawl.
And then Henry Thomas says, "What's that smell?" She says, "Probably your breath blowing back into your face."
Yeah, which is
classic.
She's just full of it. Like she's just spunky.
Yep.
She's a regular Ramona Quimby.
Yeah. So they one of the scenes at the girls' house. They go home. I think after the first time they're at the quarry.
Yeah.
They go home and the little sister. I forget her name. Jane. She's messing with her mom. She has you see this like chicken foot moving just in front of the camera, and you're like, "What is this?" There's
is
like music.
The pathogen?
Yeah, and the chicken foot goes into the mom's ear, and then it pans out, and it's Jane just being a dick to her mom.
Yep. And her sister is behind her, like giggling.
Yeah.
Like, don't
so they're just having
her.
Fun.
Yeah, and then later in the day, she decides to terrify her mom.
Yeah, she's in a room reading Jane. She's in a room reading very intently.
Yeah, she is really fixated on this book called The Perfumed Garden.
Yes.
That sounds good.
And the secret garden.
And then we see
the
mom concerned. It cuts to the mom and dad having a conversation because the mom hears something and she's like, "Oh my god, what is this?"
Mm-hmm.
And the dad just treats her like a piece of fucking garbage. Like
she
she's
the
dumbest
wind.
Bitch in the world.
She says the wind. He says, "No, it's the not wind."
Yeah, and she's like, "The not wind?" He's like, "Yeah.
You know, like the not light."
Yeah.
"You mean the dark? If you say so."
Yeah.
Like, he's trying to confuse her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just being a super jerk to her.
Yeah, so I thought that was like,
if he's in on it. Like, it's just so bizarre.
They're all encouraging this little girl to annoy her mother all the time.
Because then we cut back, and she's reading her book, but then we see by her window there are all these tags and strings attached, and she's pulling on one of them. And
the little girl is pulling on the string.
Yeah, and this little girl is pulling on the string, and what the string does is it goes out around the house and makes a branch rub against a window that her mom keeps hearing. So she's gaslighting her own fucking mother for no reason.
Other and she's than sitting in bed it. Laughing at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, she's loving
she cannot
it.
Even see her mother's
yeah.
reaction.
Yeah.
She just knows.
Just the idea that there is a reaction that's yeah. possible.
It's like, I'm doing this for the 100th night in a row.
Yeah,
I never get tired of this.
It's almost like, yeah, like she's trying to drive her mom slowly insane.
Well, it's like the time when my dad always talks about this time when he and his friends went to the grocery store and like bought a carton of eggs and they took them home. And then hard-boiled the eggs and then brought them back to the grocery store and put them on the shelf.
That's
like,
a good
well,
story.
This is a prank, but you have to imagine what the person's reaction
yeah,
to
yeah.
it is. Maybe there was no reaction. Maybe they just threw the eggs away and nobody bought them.
Yeah.
So you know,
yeah, maybe someone shot themselves over it. You never know.
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
one
maybe
of,
it ruined
like,
somebody's dinner.
Yeah. yeah.
But at the same time, that's almost like such a good prank
it is
because...
good.
Because then it all plays out in your head, where it's like,
it
it's
be
so
anything.
Much better.
It could,
I bet this happened to
yeah,
my
it's
principal.
Like, exactly. You're going to have so much
that,
more better time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when the multiverse opens
exactly.
up, and like all scenarios are possible.
Yeah.
Because
when in reality, they're probably just like, well...
What the fuck?
Yeah, I guess I'll throw these out, or I guess I'll return these,
yeah,
and that's it. Like,
they just
no
get returned twice. The loser's a store,
yeah.
basically.
Okay, so we haven't talked much about the various other townspeople. Which are basically the greasers slash rockabilly guys.
Yeah.
yeah.
As a police.
Rockabilly man.
Like half the people in the town's gonna be police.
Yeah, half are police.
4 or 5 are greaser rockabilly dudes.
Yes.
Yeah. There's
like
an amazing
super
rockabilly
greaser.
Band at this
oh,
church.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I wanna hire that band for something.
Yeah.
They are the
playing,
front man is amazing.
A weak ass kids.
Yeah.
Dance,
yeah,
come
this guy
a
is
church
like
dance.
Jumping around like Mojo Nixon.
Yeah,
yeah, they are. I thought that they yeah. would have made a very good ska band.
Yeah,
that's how good I thought
it's
they
a
were.
A
5-man
rockabilly band. They've got the stand up bass.
Yep.
They've got the charismatic front man. They've
yep.
got two of those big old fashioned.
This
guitars, must have
been one of the first rockabilly bands because it's after the fifth. Yeah, I mean it's after the time.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is the music the kids love in Australia in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
That's true. That is
yeah.
true. I guess
local,
it's still current
local
for them.
Queensland version
the
of the Stray Cats.
Yeah, the 50s hit Australia
and,
in the 80s.
And in those
yeah.
scenes, they kept going to close-ups of this band, which
oh,
I guess we didn't
oh,
go
yeah.
into the credits long enough to see what the band was, but like, whenever they go into a close-up of the band, it looked like the band was playing in a really, really tiny room.
Yes.
They were all squeezed together, and then they go to a wide shot, and the band was
spread
a lot
out.
Farther apart.
It was
yeah.
a really weird... I'm not sure
so
why they made that choice to do that,
I guess.
But they did.
And they could have just filmed the close-ups on the same stage, with no
yeah.
audience
yeah
there,
yeah this this church dance was kind of a sad looking dance
well just
yeah.
because the sign that said disco was on like a 8x11 piece of cardboard
yeah.
so the
two...
letters D, S, and O were at the top and the letters I and C were
yeah.
at the bottom
and the
they didn't even have enough room
two,
for the word
like,
disco on there
deflating balloons on top
but it yeah. did have classic boys on one side, mm-hmm. girls on the other.
It did.
Yeah.
Even that, even the adults.
Including adult boys and girls.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah but then the music started and everyone started
yeah.
dancing.
Well, because that
yeah.
band was so good.
Because the
they were so like lively.
The magic
they were like
of
hyping the room.
Yeah. 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 yeah, they're like the country western
oh,
real big
good.
Fish. You
they
know
were.
I mean?
Oh, God.
That was their look. Country western real big
oh,
fish.
Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
Real big saltwater
crocodiles.
We're real big saltwater crocodiles.
I couldn't think of an Australian species of fish.
Oh, real speaking big. Of Australian species of anything.
Yeah, there's so many
movie,
monitor lizards in this
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, this movie is basically like a...
It's like a nature doc.
Yeah.
With a story weaved in there. You
there's
know,
so much just like scenery chewing the scenery.
Yeah. I would think probably
yeah.
a good like 35% of this was just shots of animals and or
really
scenery.
Cool animals.
Oh yeah, it was awesome.
There was like a bird hawk looking thing.
Yeah.
I don't know
there
what
was
it
a,
was.
There was a monitor lizard that just ate a mouse.
This
yeah.
owl that kept, I don't know, I don't think it was an owl.
No, it wasn't. It was a, yeah, looked, I don't know. It was probably some weird Australian species.
Yeah, it kind of
yeah.
looked like an owl but had like a hawk
yeah.
beak. It was
yeah.
really weird.
Oh yeah, no, and there was this smaller bird in the forest. I think it's called a frogmouth.
Mm.
It was
okay.
like a nocturnal bird with a really big
yeah,
beak
the,
and a small head.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. And it always looked like surprised and concerned.
Yeah. And that
great.
One also kept flashing when at the end when Charlie Pride came back.
Yeah.
It kept
yeah.
flashing back and forth between
and
this
the
weird
thing
there was
thing
another
and
scene
then,
where they were showing cranes walking around on a sand flat.
Yeah.
yeah.
And they show all these animals, but mm-hmm. for like no reason. Like they
yeah.
don't
local
they don't,
color, I guess.
They don't like I guess so, but they don't work into the lore, they don't work
yeah.
into the story.
Maybe they got
yeah.
some grant money if they showed
oh, you know what?
If
I bet,
they showed some like Australia like to promote
you,
Australia.
I bet you if we looked it up we'd see like some Australian promotion money
yeah.
in
it's
that.
It's like
film.
One of those movies in the 60s like Daktari or Rhino. Which was filmed like a lot of it was just filmed like as an excuse to show local animals in Africa, and they
yeah.
were
okay.
like also
I,
educational
yeah.
movies, but they also had a plot with actors.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you're onto something with the
scenario.
Australian tourist association.
Yeah, I
could
definitely see it like as a promotional thing to get people to Australia.
Yeah, because this seems like pretty much an Australian movie. It had a low budget, but it also starred Henry Thomas. For some
yeah.
reason, the original.
From E.T.
Yeah.
It's like, we got to make this a legitimate movie. Let's
yeah,
everyone else
just,
is an Australian
this
actor.
This was Henry Thomas's follow-up well, to E.T.
He didn't act that much, I guess, after E.T.
No. I guess after this experience, he decided against it. It's like, agents are bullshit.
Yeah, so there are all these crazy animals in the movie.
Yeah.
It's like they're implying something about Aboriginal lore, but they never, nobody ever comes out and says, like, explains any of the Aboriginal lore.
No, because
you can tell it's for an Australian audience, because they keep using the word dreaming, which is a very important word over there, but we have never heard, I mean, we don't really hear anything about, like, how dreaming is, like, a certain place where people dream about certain things.
Yeah, and
there's
dreamings. It has an S on it. Yeah, like, the back dreaming. Of the case, it's frog it's like, dreamings.
This is one of the frog dreamings.
Yeah.
Like, they say the black fellows don't want to go here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very weird. So this is clearly made for an Australian audience. Yeah. But I don't think it even did well with the Australian audience.
Yeah.
It didn't do well with any audience.
Yeah, it didn't do well with me. The whole thing was just kind of...
It was kind of boring.
Slow and boring. Yeah. There was only a few parts that were actually kind of cool. One of them, which... was the
the cop car ran over the dog?
The very beginning of the movie, a dog totally died.
You see the cop car driving away, like in hot pursuit of the kids on their bikes, and you see this collie run in front of the front wheel of the
and get
cop
frantic,
car.
Try to run away,
and then they immediately cut away right before.
Yeah,
the dog died,
and then the BMX parts at the beginning were pretty awesome.
Yeah,
I mean the kids riding a bike on a railroad track, which basically just looks like it's like rollerblade wheels.
Yeah.
And then all these kids are just like riding. There's got to be like 30, 40 of them just like making jumps and doing all this cool
stuff.
That
was cool. Like as a group.
Bikes.
Like
you don't see that
tearing
anymore.
It down.
I remember going on bike rides with friends. There would be like 10 of us and we'd just be like tearing it up and kicking down trash cans.
Yeah.
The whole movie was like that. It should have been called The Go Kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
They would have just took that first 10 minutes and expanded that. Go kids!
Yeah, if they fucking
wanted to make a movie, I'll tell you what they should have done.
These bloody fucking assholes!
Put in some birds,
some
football.
If they just took these that beginning scene with all the kids just fucking tearing it down that fucking mountainside or whatever, and they took like that group of kids and condense them down to like maybe like 8.
Yeah.
And then
they went on like a Goonie style quest. An actual quest.
Yeah.
Just Cody and his girlfriend and her
little sister. And then if they added like maybe like 4 or 5 more kids and they all had like cool personality traits and they were all like all as like quippy as Jane, it would have been a fucking excellent movie.
Oh man.
Yeah, there's no other boys that even have a line, I don't think.
Yeah,
other kids are girls, and then there's a bunch of adult men.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true.
And some in really unreasonable shorts.
the adult men, not the girls.
But some sweet sideburns.
Yeah. Great sideburns, really questionable shorts.
Oh man.
In this movie. Yeah, there is the one scene.
There.
The scene it is that I guess that is a reason, but there's one scene that I really enjoyed, which was towards the end. Gaza is finally concerned enough to try to tell Cody not to do something, to try and parent a little, and so Cody's working on his diving bell, and Gaza comes in and he's like, you know, I need you to promise me that you're not going to go back there because it's dangerous. You shouldn't go back there.
Yeah.
And Cody's like,
Cody cannot believe what he's
doing. He's like, you don't tell me what to do. And that's how it works, basically.
Yeah.
He's like,
if you were a kid and someone told you not to do something, would you actually follow their orders or would you lie?
Yeah, basically.
Gaza's like, well, I guess I would lie.
He's like, yeah, you got me there. Fine.
Kids are incapable of following orders.
Well, and then Gaza just walks off and says, you know, we'll talk when you're calm, because Cody's crying, and that, of course, only upsets Cody more.
Yeah.
But no, Cody made a really good point that, you know, I could promise you, or
I could lie. Yeah.
And what do you think I'm going to do? What would you do?
Yeah, which beats home the point that Cody's a pretty smart kid.
He's a really smart guy.
He's inventing things. Yeah. He's doing all this cool stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, they find the dead body guy near the quarry, and the first thing they do is they get the police. Like,
yeah. By the way,
most movies, sometimes they would just be like, oh, we gotta hide it. Oh, let's get the other kids.
Let's not tell anybody, but let's
tell all the kids. Yeah. Let's charge them five Australian dollars to see it.
Let's just bury it. Let's throw it in the lake.
So, one thing is, that dead body from the beginning means nothing in this movie.
No.
No.
Nothing.
Other than to show the thing at the beginning.
Yeah,
that's
just
basically all it serves.
But there's nothing.
Even at that, they could have just had the kids go down there.
So what happened to Neville then? Did he
That was Neville.
Yeah.
Except that he looked like he'd been dead for about 40 years.
No, but I'm saying what happened to him that he died there like that?
They said that I think the cop said he had a heart attack. So maybe he was so scared he had a heart attack.
He looked really frightened.
And he backed out and was like hanging. So
you know,
thinking,
I can buy that.
And then he decayed like for 40 years.
Only like it was like a dried out skin.
Yeah.
It looked like beef jerky on a skeleton.
all the meat was gone, though.
Yeah, and he was inside a house.
It was like a leather
inside
skeleton.
A shack.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was like a school bus there, I think. There was like
that was part of the shack. Like one corner of the shack was.
Okay. Yeah, it was a lot of like.
That was the thing they attached the rope to catch the bunyip.
Beat up old cars and stuff.
And Cody had a lot of intel on this Neville guy that no one else had.
Yeah, he's just because some bloke
he knows. Yeah, he's telling, I think, what, the cop? That, yeah, Neville, this guy I know. And he's like, how do you know him? He's like, well, he's. Oh, because they were talking about Neville being just some bum. And he's like, he's not some bum. He's a dentist from Sydney or something like that.
Yeah.
And he just comes here, you know, for just, whatever. Just
I never thought chilling. Twice about an old bum until I got the chance to really get to know one.
Yeah.
Mr. Neville.
Mr. Neville.
Yeah. So this is really a 90s slow jam on this bitch.
That's a pretty upbeat song.
It's a good song.
Yeah. So this is classic. Pretty much a lesson about how you should treat the homeless with respect, or else you'll never get to the bottom of, what is it called, cryptozoological mysteries.
Yeah. So there, I mean, there's no real quest in it. I mean, the little bit of questing that happens is him trying to find Charlie Pride, really. That's the only questing that happens.
Yeah, but that's about, 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
So out of all this other names, do you think The Secret of the Lake was a better name?
Yeah, I like that lake.
That is much better. It's much less of a
true
lie.
To the story.
Better than the Go Kids. I like Frog Dreaming, but that
Frog
is,
Dreaming
that's
is good.
Kind of a weird one.
Yeah. It wouldn't make
it
sense.
It only applies
here.
To an Australian audience.
Yeah, in Australia.
Because the dreaming stuff
sense.
Is big, mm-hmm. you know, Aboriginal stuff. Like, they have the whole dreamland stuff.
And it makes the most sense to the story, because it's kind of what it's about.
It is about, it, like,
it's
it makes...
Frog dreaming.
We as Americans have no context at all for what the heck.
They're like, what's the closest thing to a frog dream? A quest.
Yeah.
It's not.
That's a quest.
It's not.
Do you think it was called The Quest because it came out a year after Vision Quest?
I think so. I feel like the frog dreaming is really just like, you know how actors and ne'er-do-wells in on the West Coast will go to Joshua Tree and just get high as fuck? Yeah. I feel like that's... I feel
think
it's
that's
like,
kind
let's,
of what it is,
we're frog
like
dreaming.
Go and smoke peyote.
But it was called The Pilgrimage.
Wasn't that like what a walkabout is?
Yeah. That's what they.
See,
they
I thought it was
kind
of be about a walkabout.
Yeah, me
but
too.
He never really goes very far from his hometown.
No, he doesn't.
He always
that's
comes
his home
back
base.
At night.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking was going to happen. Is he's going to take this rail bike, rail bike out?
The most he goes is like to this... the shanty town next door.
Yeah.
So it's just a bunch of nothing.
Yeah,
bunch of
a,
nothing.
And as a kids' movie, I don't think it really works either. Like,
no, I don't
on
think
that
it,
level,
it wouldn't be entertaining for kids.
I could see kids getting bored of that real quick.
Yeah. Sorry, I feel like I led you down the wrong path. I'm not gonna suggest any movies for a while. I feel like I lost that privilege.
Well, I always like seeing. I don't know. The Aboriginal stuff is interesting.
I think that was part of it.
You know,
is that it was
my
Australian.
Favorite movies are.
I like the scenery.
I really like Peter Weir's movies about
the little
girls. Kind
awesome.
Of integrate Australian folklore into modern Australian life, like the plumber and the Last Wave in particular.
And I think that mostly the fact that this kid just has everybody around his finger. Like he
owns this town. Well, he's American.
Yeah,
you know,
he's American. He doesn't give a fuck about anybody there, and everybody knows it and thinks that much more of him because of it. So that was like, wow, this kid is just an asshole. Mm-hmm. He's just an asshole living
real
his
smart
life.
Asshole,
yeah, real smart one. But yeah, it's boring. I wouldn't recommend it again to anybody.
No.
But
Yeah, I did also like the part where he finally went back to the lake to give the donkeygen one more chance to show itself.
Yes.
He was swimming around shouting, "Donkeygen's a chicken! Donkeygen's a chicken!"
I forgot.
Yeah, well, did he say cluck, cluck?
Yeah,
cluck, cluck, cluck.
Like, he was
and
doing that
this
at the same
above
time he was
the water.
Trying to tread water.
Yeah.
So he was having trouble doing the buck, 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 buck parts.
Yeah, he, I don't think he's smart, but he doesn't understand how sound works water.
Yeah.
Like how sound waves and water.
Sound,
like they,
sound doesn't permeate through water very well.
No. So yeah, he just it's just about a boy who's very smart. Part of his life, he becomes very obsessed with something in a lake. Yeah.
Well, sound waves is like 10th grade science, so you can't put that past him.
That's true.
It's like 10th or 11th grade.
Yeah.
he's just not there yet.
No, he'll get there.
Yeah,
he'll get there eventually.
He'll get there.
He'll. I kind of would like to see this kid, right?
Elliot.
This Cody in this town. But, later on, I'd like to see him save the town by being a smart kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a good movie.
That could have been the quest.
Yeah, because this town looks like it's dying.
Yeah. Pretty soon, the church is not going to have any more discos.
Yeah.
We're going to have to give up our rockabilly band.
Yeah.
The rockabilly band that plays discos.
The rockabilly band's going to move on to the Abbo shanty town.
The shanty town is threatening to leave.
He's got a rating system for this one.
Jesus.
Well,
okay. How about
yes? So, what do you? So, what out of a scale of 0 to 5, What ranking do you give the animals in this movie?
A 5.
4.
4.
Oh, fuck. Those animals were good.
There were enough...
saw the monitor lizard eating that giant, that rat was cool.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Usually they just showed the animals sitting there, not doing anything, though.
Like, they're doing... Yeah, that's true.
Okay, what about as a creation of a atmosphere of mystery and magic?
Give it a negative 4.
Yeah.
I liked the scene on the dock there. But yeah, everything else was pretty.
The beginning part was kind of interesting, and I was like, "What's going on?"
A 1.
But the fact that it just took so long and it amounted to nothing, it was just like such a big letdown.
It was a huge letdown of a movie.
I'll give it a 1. And then because actually this movie was an exercise in demonstrating the scientific method. How do you think it succeeded at that?
Pretty good. I think it did. I would give it a 3.5.
I'll give it around there. I'll give it a three.
I mean, it did snuff out my feeling of mystery and wonder.
Yeah.
It was not revived at the
end by
the mystic shaman. Hey, what about the acting in this movie? I mean, we didn't really talk about any of the actors.
You know, there was some good kid acting going
on. Yeah, it really wasn't that bad. I mean, there was never a point where I was like, oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, no. They seemed like they seemed actual kids who existed. Although like, some of the line delivery was flat,
you know, a little emotionless, but they're, you know.
They're kids.
The sassy girl said everything in a sassy way.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 3.5.
Yeah, it'd be the same.
Okay, 3. And how about as a depiction of anthropology? How did this work as a realistic documentary about what actually happens? In these societies.
Life?
Yeah. In life, the universe, and everything.
I feel like this was a slap in the face to, the Aboriginal culture. Like, basically saying, like, oh, yeah, you know that stuff that all those Abos talk about? It's all fake.
Yeah.
It's all fucking fake, stupid shit that they're just making up.
And not only is it fake, it's based on one of our pieces of technology.
Yeah,
that's only,
it's
like,
based on white shit.
Old.
They're just biting our game and trying to make it look like something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like this was just a big fuck you.
But the only catch with that is I wonder about that mannequin thing that was in the bottom.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was the original Dunkin' or something like that, maybe. Maybe that used to come up and scare people.
Maybe.
And now this thing kind of superseded it. I don't know.
That thing was just like shaped like a human.
This piece of machinery that should not work.
But
it
had like Aboriginal like kind of painting and stuff on its face.
It did.
And then who was it, Charlie Pride or maybe the guy that he talked to the first time told him about something like they would go and that's what how a boy became a man.
You have to look into its face.
Yeah, and then you died or if you didn't, you died or something.
Yeah, the Kadaiser man.
Yeah,
he's basically this person who can decide who lives and who dies sometimes.
Yeah, and the thing is the Aboriginal people that were in this movie that were talking about this Dunkin' were very serious about it.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't doing it with, like, a bit of sarcasm and a little bit of playfulness at all.
Yeah. Like, oh, my grandfather told us about the Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Which makes me think that there's some sort of story besides just this mining machinery, but I don't know. I like seeing
Charlie Pride dressed up as the Kadaiger man at the end.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was very interesting. So I would give it a 3 for that, too.
Yeah.
How did it work as a documentary?
I'm going to give it a 0 on that.
I think I'm being very generous with this movie.
You're being extremely generous with this movie.
Okay, I'll give it a 1.5.
Okay. Altogether.
Did you get a score?
For what? The
for accurate depiction of life as a documentary and achieving its anthropological goals.
Yeah,
I'd give PBS
it probably
style.
Close to like a 1 or 2 on that, too.
Yeah.
Go watch Cane Toads.
Yeah.
There's a documentary about Cane Toads.
Go watch a real documentary.
Yeah, there's not enough animals in this to be a real documentary. They don't really do anything, the animals.
No.
Can't be like a nature doc, can't be like a anthropological doc, it can't be...
it's not an exciting story either, because the kids really never leave
their
hometown.
It can't be an exciting fictional story.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like the Goonies because the kids are so incredibly annoying, but at least it's more exciting than this movie.
And there's no real antagonist.
Yeah,
there's no antagonist.
No,
it doesn't exist.
Just like,
it's a fake thing.
The closest thing is the girl's dad who keeps telling Gazza to stop letting your boy hang around with my daughter.
But he doesn't really. He has no like teeth at all.
No.
The girl just goes.
And he gets
what she wants. Yeah, he gets.
Gazza owns him.
That was a really good scene where the father of these girls who doesn't like this boy Cody and him hanging around his daughters at all. He goes up to Gazza and says, you know, you need to keep your boy away from my girls. And Gazza says, I don't give advice to boys. I don't take advice from them either.
Oh
such a fucking burn.
And then he just walked away.
Yeah, and just doesn't give him the time of day after that.
Got served, buddy.
Yeah.
So that's Frog Dreaming.
Yeah, that seems about it.
Look for it on VHS on Amazon
for about
$20.
Don't do it. I mean, I'm not going to tell you what to do and not to do because that's not our relationship.
Yeah.
Do what you want.
Yeah, we got a Gaza relationship here.
You don't need to promise me anything, but I'm just, my recommendation is to not bother. It's a waste of your time. It was a waste of mine. And for some reason, for a little bit, I thought it wasn't. That's the worst part about this. I was fooled by my own brain.
Oh, well, happens to the best of us.
Happened again.
So this might be one of the 15 best movies by director Brian Trenchard-Smith, but it's not near the top. I mean, it's not up there with Leprechaun 3 or BMX Bandits or Stunt Rock or...
Which really makes me want to see BMX Bandits.
Yeah, because the BMXing
sweet
part.
Sweet BMXing stuff that was going on.
He should have focused more on that shit. Yeah. Especially
maybe that's what he did. Did BMX Bandits come after this?
No, that was 83. This was 85.
Okay, so that's what it was. He had a little leftover BMX going on.
God damn it.
He probably employed some kids that were on that movie.
Well, yeah, I bet he knew a bunch of people.
Yeah, so if you want to see a Brian Trenchard-Smith movie, we watch Death Cheaters, Stunt Rock, Tyrannosaurus Azteca.
Oh!
That's right. After directing a bunch of low-budget Australian movies, he came to Hollywood and made a bunch of low-budget terrible sci-fi movies. Including Megiddo, The Omega Code 2, The Happy Face Murders, and so on.
Wow.
Sounds like a terrible person.
But, I think he's a major figure in Ozploitation.
Ah, yeah.
Which this is not an example of, because it has nothing offensive in it at all. It's a movie for kids.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right.
That's the movie.
Keep it real, yo.
Yuck! What's it smell? Probably your breath blowing back into your face.
Hey guys, have you heard the good news? The Forgotten Failures now have a web presence. You can check us out at ForgottenFailuresCast.com and like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/ForgottenFailuresCast. But you know what we'd really love? Even more than the thrill of the hunt and the taste of the shunt? We'd love an email from you. Tell us what you think at ForgottenFailuresCast@gmail.com.